Okay, thank you a lot for coming. My name is Nav. I'm a Wikimedia volunteer. I'm also the co-founder of a project called Histopedia, which is using Wikidata to try and create timelines of every topic in history. So today, really, my hat that I've got on is me and a guy called John Cummings have been working with importing data from UNESCO and other UN agencies, and generally all kinds of data from different places. We're sort of looking at the process and the flow, finding out how difficult it is to actually do this when someone said they've got some data they're happy to give to us. You would have thought that's great, happy days, we get some data, lovely, we'll put it in. And of course, the reality is completely different. And we actually just found very quickly that we're lacking the basic tools and the basic documentation. Much of this is starting to get into place. And now, you know, Jens has come on board as the kind of guy coordinating this stuff. So the first thing I just want to do really is I'm just going to give you a very brief overview of the kind of stuff that we've been doing. I don't want to go into a great amount of detail, because what I really want today is I want to hear what everyone else has to say, because, you know, I've got my ideas, but I want to hear what other people think about this. And really, we need ideas for how we're going to go forward into the future, how we're going to map out the process so that anyone can come along and they don't have to scratch their heads and go, you know what, I give up, forget it, it's not worth it. So just a very quick overview. Jens has covered a lot of this in the previous session about this, but I just wanted to include this for completeness, just to understand. We all know why it's so important, but just to spell it out, you know, for Wikidata, it's obvious why it's good for us, because we get this high quality data from a person who's supposed to know all about it. But from the point of view of the person data, the organization importing data, they get this wonderful array of benefits at very almost no cost, really, and they get help from the community along the way. But you know, crucially, once their data is into the Wikidata world, they can combine it with the rest of the knowledge in the world, and it's not this little piece of data on its own. Suddenly, you can get insight. And you can read through these other things, you know, of course, it increases their visibility, they get more links back to their site, Google finds their stuff more easily. There's a lot of good reasons for them, but it needs to be easy enough for them to actually be able to import the data. You know, all these benefits are great, but if they can't do it, it's no good. So this is just a quick example of how we began. There wasn't really anything there, so we just started making a spreadsheet. I'll just quickly show you. So of course, this is far from ideal, but each row represents another data set that UNESCO had made available to us and we wanted to import. And so, of course, I quickly found we were just losing track of everything, so I started to make a kind of a catalogue of just what have we done so far, what have we got to do, you know, very basic. And then here, I'll show you an example of the actual spreadsheet that we were working from, which is starts with the data they just gave us. And you end up with this kind of situation where, you know, I always wanted a summary to find out what had happened, and I have some queries to sort of analyze the data. This was the source data that they gave us, with some other columns I've added for the matching process, but a real lot of work goes into it. And then we've got all of these tables are just different quick statements imports that I've done. So we had to match the data first. We can't do anything until we know which Wikidata item. Then we have to make all the missing items, and then finally we can add the actual data. So yeah, this is a mix and match import sheet that we needed first, and various other bits and bobs. But I'll just show you a quick query just to show you what it's all in aid of. Of course, once we've done it, we can see, you know, various visualizations, which of course for UNESCO is very handy, but for the Wikidata world, you know, we need all this data in here, and we can begin to explore, and we have a pretty complete set of World Heritage sites now. You know, it was entirely complete, but of course a few things have happened afterwards, and now there's some fuzziness and a few things are wrong, but generally that's complete data. And also the sort of thing that it was not easy for UNESCO to find out on their own. They didn't have their own query service, but you know, here's the breakdown of World Heritage Sites per country, so you get to see which countries are the hotspots. for World Heritage. So, you know, Italy, Spain, France, Germany looks like it's in fourth place here. So basically this helped us to figure out what was the process. And, you know, quite remarkably, and you'll never believe it, we found that it was only just two steps involved. Unfortunately, step one was a little bit difficult because basically you need to have a get your computer science degree sorted. And then from there on, everything is just super easy and you'll be fine. Okay. So, you know, no problem. Everything's fine. You know, and John Cummings, who I work with, was, you know, he's always joking about being a muggle in the Wikidata world. And he really does. He, you know, a spreadsheet is quite complicated for him. So he had real trouble with this. And that's where I came in to help him out. And this is what Jens was talking about earlier, but this is the Wikidata import hub that has been created as, you know, it's a step one. It's not anywhere near a finished article. This is what we need to develop, okay? Just to understand a bit about the process, in case anyone didn't see before, we have this basic level that you have to sort of prepare your data, and that's a lot of work, and you've got this little flow that you have to move into. And we've got some links along here to show you which part of the guide you're supposed to be dealing with. But basically, this is, and then the part two of the actual importing, which of course needs a vast array of technical skills. You need to know about Wikidata. I mean, actually, the importing itself, because of the tools that, you know, Magnus and others have made, it's not actually that hard once you've got to this stage. But the preparation is really where all the problems are. So this is what we're left with. I mean, there are more, but I've kind of distilled what our problems were down into a handful of things that we know we need to sort out. So the first thing is, you know, how do we keep Wikidata in sync with an external data source? If we know UNESCO is perfect for World Heritage data, we've all agreed, yep, we want their data. Why is it so hard for us to say, let's just make sure Wikidata keeps up to date with all of that? You know, you have to maybe make a bot, do all these things, but you also need to find out, you know, what's the status of this? Is it really up to date at this moment? Second one is kind of connected to the first, and it's basically, it's really hard to find out what has been changed at the moment. So, you know, I came along after some new data came along, and I'm like, right, let's fill in the gaps, but lots of stuff has changed. What's changed? How do you find out? Not easy. And then we've got this basic thing, you know, that you just need to have a lot of skill in terms of coding or spreadsheet ability to do this. And not many people have that skill. And the final one is there's no easy way to get metrics. So, you know, what's the point in importing this data if you can't at the end find out, wow, 2 million people saw this, you know, or we got all this stuff and there's nothing there to say right now. Where did we use it? Where did it go? You know, how many Wikipedia articles have that data inserted into it? All very, very difficult. So that's kind of where you come in. Basically, this is really our task for today, is I want, really, I'd like everyone who feels like they might have something to add to one of these questions, I'd like to put it all into groups. So if we have, and if we have only got a couple of people in a group, we'll sort of merge. But basically, I want to form into groups, and I want you to come up with some solutions. And the key thing is that we won't solve all of our problems straight away. A lot of our problems are to do with advanced tools that we are going to need, but we have to do something now, because in the meantime, we've got a process that needs work. So I'd like everyone to basically come up with two lists of suggestions for their group, which is like, what can we do right now to address this and make it a bit easier? And what can we do to fully solve it afterwards? Like, what's the long-term vision? Where should we be if we had all the developers in the world right here and all the time? What would we make? How would it look? Okay, so it's kind of, what do we do now? Future concept. Okay. So grouping wise, I don't know if anyone has a look at these. If number one, does anyone feel like they're kind of ready to talk about number one? It's basically how do we keep it in sync with an external data source?
The other thing, does anyone have an answer to any question right now?
That's a great point. That's a great point, because
save a lot of time, because like the answer is this.
Yeah.
Then
Oh yeah, we've got a question here. Well, he's got an answer for us. Tell us how it works.
I think we should have one more property called expiry date for data.
Say again?
Data should have an expiry date. So we can have several different types of data, like a Prime Minister of UK.
Okay.
So if you don't update after some time,
then
you
know, it's going to go.
Expired. But there are like a date of birth of Shakespeare. It's not going to expire. So but we categorize data into different types where data may be expiring or not. Like the height of Mount Everest. It's going to stay at least for another 1,000 years.
Mm.
Not much different. So this is one way.
Interesting.
Second, identify, you know, this has to be a kind of a property. Then so we can first make sure which things are getting updated and which things are not. And then second, the authenticity can have a kind of ranking.
Yes.
If you have like 90% of the data seems to be authentic, then you give a score for that source or the user.
Yes.
So you add up a value to the authenticity.
Yes.
That is another idea.
And there's actually some overlapping concepts with things like signed statements, which we're thinking about. Now, that's kind of like it's in the development stage in terms of it's kind of proof of concept. Do you know where that's got to? But basically, that sort of thing will help a lot. And I understand expiring data. I mean, it is interesting to know the difference between permanent data and changing. I mean, of course, Wikidata, for a lot of changing data, just stores all the values with a qualifier for time. It's a population. It's changing, but it doesn't matter to us because we want to keep them all anyway. But it's very interesting. We have to put this down into the list. So listen, I mean, my plan was to get us into groups because I really wanted to get people's feedback. But I mean, I don't, if people would rather just give their comments first and talk about it. I mean, the second session is actually a discussion, which is, we can happily do that. But if anyone's got any questions or thoughts, or if anyone has tried importing data themselves and they've got some things to share, I would love to hear about them. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah. I'll just wait for the mic.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to force that issue. We're going to do it. Everyone's going to have to join. We'll just do it the old-fashioned way and just tell you, right, you're in that group. Go for it. Sorry.
Are the comments that users have when they try to use these tools centralized, like in a, you know, like in an IT project? If you had user feedback and they ran into a certain problem, there'd be levels of support, and eventually there'd be a list of all these things, and they'd be prioritized, and then you would fix them all in a centralized way. Does that kind of, I understand
not,
this is a community with a different spirit, but is there anything like that?
The same thing applies. I mean, it doesn't matter, community with a different spirit or not, that is what's needed. There are places, you know, like we rely 100% on tools written by a volunteer. You know, we've got basically two tools that are written by Magnus, which are central to everything we do, Mix and Match and Quick Statements. And there are bug lists and request lists. They're not all in the same place. Loads of people put them in, you know, project chat here or talk pages there. A lot of people just tell me this stuff verbally. But really, you know, there's a tooling problem there, and that we can report it all we like. He is just doing it in his spare time whenever he can, you know, and he's already single-handedly built half of Wikipedia, you know, so you can't expect too much more out of this guy. But the process, I would like to see that really, really accentuated, that we need everyone using it and reporting in the same way, and it all goes through the same funnel. And I think that's the crucial thing, is it all being centralized. We're all working on the same job, you know, no one's redoing the same work. So I think that's part of the solution for sure. Yeah. Is there any data importers here? Yeah, there's one more question over here.
Hi. So at the beginning of the year, we started importing data into Wikidata. And concerning the things that you mentioned, I'm not so sure that technical knowledge is a big issue. Mm. Because if you deal with large libraries, you run into people who have a lot of experience with things like OAI PMH or Mark 21, which I don't understand. And I have a degree in computer science. I think this is from hell. But I think for us and for some people I talk to, the issue is we don't really know what we can do. Can we import 20,000 items at the same time, or will the community not allow that?
Yeah.
Or is that what we are doing exactly that what we should do. For example, I would have liked some kind of staging area where we could test that out. Thanks to Andy, we managed this very well. I hope so. I was not blocked, so
so far, so good.
Obviously not that bad. But I don't think the technical issues are the core here, but more the guidance for the people who want to do this.
Yeah. I think that's a really valid point. I think on the technical level, actually, the reality is more the technical stuff I think I'm referring to. And you're right, in these big data imports, it's not a problem. It's more that if you're an editor who knows how to use quick statements and someone says, you know, I need some help getting this data in, I don't know what to do, I don't know about Wikidata. We've only got a handful of people right now in the community who actually can come and help with that. You know, they are there. They don't always have the time. And the thing is like, to use quick statements, really what you need to be is good with spreadsheets. You know, if you know how to use a spreadsheet well, and you can combine columns and take a bit of that value and clean up data quite easily, do a bit of find and replace, you know, the more you can do, that's the kind of level of knowledge that, like, you know, a John Cummings would need, because then he would have already, you know, he would already have 100,000 edits to his name. And at the moment, you know, he's on a couple of thousand, and all the mass edits come my way because he just can't do them. So I think you're right on the bigger scale of things. That's not so much the issue, except that we want to remove the barrier to entry wherever we can, you know, and if we can get everyday editors able to sort of, you know, to do these things with some better tools, then, you know, all the better. But it's definitely the point taken. But the first one was the crucial one, is how do we know that we can actually get this in the first place? And it's kind of guesswork. And when you do go and post it to the community, you know, you're going to get the consensus of three people. And that's basically three or four people will join in your project chat, probably. There might be a couple of other people. And where's the consensus there? You know, we're not getting the community's vote on it at that point. We're really seeing a tiny portion of it. So what do most people do? They just say, well, you know, sod that. I'm not going to ask the community at all. I'm just going to do it. You know, there's a guy called Gerard Measden. He's got about over 2 million edits. And his philosophy is, you know, he just does it. And people complain sometimes. Not great for everyone, because we do need to work together and figure out what is the, you know, look, we do need to discuss this stuff. But it's just, it's difficult at the moment. And I think, you know, your best bet is that your starting point before you've done anything at all is to come into project chat and try and find out what the reaction's going to be. And that's it, you know. But yeah, this is crucial for step one. How close are we to the sort of official discussion bit?
I think the official discussion would start in 12 minutes, but I don't know about the leader of this discussion. If there is any, it wouldn't be the WikiWay.
Yeah.
So I would be quite happy if you have the consent to let this session smoothly glide over into
that,
the discussion.
That's kind of what I was hoping would happen, because really I'm trying to set the scene here. For us to all talk about it, we're the ones who together need to work out what happens, you know. I'm aware there are a lot of this, the answer is just, well, we just need a better tool, you know. But that's all very well, but it's going to be a year and a half, I think, at least, before we've got better tools than we have right now, you know. And in the meantime, we've just got piles of data imports, you know, loading up there that we don't have to deal with. So, yeah, are there any more? I mean, should we just go through some more questions for now, if there are any more? Well, we'll come to you after. There's a new one here and another one from Jens, and then we'll come to you.
I have just a question. You mentioned keeping the data synchronized with the external database is difficult.
Yes.
Where do you see the difficulty? Wouldn't it be possible, for example, to take the data based on the date it has been inserted? So in this case, you would get only the recent data, and you have a little amount that you have to upload to Wikidata.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, yes, that's kind of possible. But the truth is, a lot of the time you're dealing with an external data source that does not have unique ID properties. Like, for example, UNESCO, they gave us some data. It was the biosphere data set. And we had to match everything. We can't add anything until it's all matched and we know what is what, which biosphere is which Wikidata item, does it exist, does it not exist. We fill in the gaps and we make the items. The problem is, in a few months, they then released some more data and they came back to us saying, look, we've got an extra bunch of data. And And, you know, the problem was by that point, our spreadsheet had changed an awful lot. I couldn't use my original spreadsheet as it was because people had already deleted several items, merged them into other things, made them into sub items of other ones. The data set had changed. So sure, I can just kind of get, in that case, I could have taken the extra ones. But in many cases, you end up with a situation where you still need someone with advanced knowledge to really set up a bot. By synchronization, we really want to say, look, we've agreed. No one has to go and do this anymore. It's just going to keep on happening. You know, like, and at the moment, you can request a bot to come and, you know, someone might come and make it for you, but the list is very, very long. So the difficulty is in how, you know, how do you, and the process might be different. It might be data on a web page that needs scraping. It might be stuff they give you in a spreadsheet, or it might be some other format. And that's one of the difficulties. And we were looking at Glampipe earlier on, and this tool is certainly has the promise to sort of help with that, because you're saying, look, I'll point it to a web page that needs scraping, give it the rule. But generally speaking, it feels like, you know, it's a problem that is, what do we do about the stuff that's changed? You know, and a lot of the changes are not simple. It's not like it's just, I just don't like that value. I've got rid of the item. I've made it into a different structure, which is really problematic, you know. What we need is a uniform structure that's all agreed and we can use it. But yeah, I see it's not easy. I might be wrong. There might be more technical people than me that can come and say, you know what, you know, if we just had a little group of people, they could do this very easily. But that's what we need to know, you know.
Yeah, actually, there are aggregation projects who deal with these sort of questions every day in their line of work, like Europeana, or as we do in Germany. And we would be quite happy to join the discussion, because that's part of our day job, reliving this kind of scenario.
This is what you do for fun.
But there was another question.
That's
a
good point, yeah. Yeah, we'll be in touch, for sure.
Maybe not a question, but regarding point number four.
Yeah.
I think it is less mystical than you might imagine. There are APIs for viewing all kinds of metrics, including page views and usage of items. We have looked into when we were looking at scaling issues with including items in Wikipedia pages, etc. So I think we can say something about
maybe
the usage.
Number four is maybe kind of starting to get ticked off with that.
Yes. So what would be interesting at that point is if the community, especially those working with institutions who have an interest in getting metrics, would say it would be really helpful if we could get information like this, and then
you can say, can we do it, can we not?
Yes.
The curious, or the one that's really important at the moment, is which info boxes are using this data. Because the minute we know the list of info boxes using a particular statement, say, then we can easily generate a list of how many views on Wikipedia they're getting. But the problem I wasn't sure, and it might well be there, is there a way of auto-generating for this data set which info boxes in any language Wikipedia are using it, which is one of the big exposure points for the data.
I will get back to you tomorrow. I think I might find out during this conference.
Brilliant. Because that's definitely one we know of. And I think the rest of them is generally just like, there's some that you can't solve. Where is it getting used externally? We can only do that by perhaps finding it organically. And then whenever we do, we just add it to the list. You know, as a community, we say, great, we need to know about this. Where do we need to know about it? Right here in the same place we have all the other stuff, you know, in the data import
just,
hub.
Just like Andy said, if you have a CC0 public domain data set, you will never know to some extent where it is reused. And we were very happy to find out that the in-flight information of a system of Eurowings uses Wikidata, and they put powered by the magic of Wikidata in their in the little last line, but we wouldn't have found out from any load of the server or requests or something.
No way you could ever find out. And so it is an organic process, but it's great to know it. And when we do find out, you know, it ends up on a presentation, which is great, you know. So, but yeah, that's really, love to hear the rest of it, because that will be, we'll use it as a test case in UNESCO for sure.
I want to share my experience when I tried first time import stuff, because that was the first thing I've ever done with Wikidata. Okay. So I wanted to import Austrian politicians, and I had the problem that it worked out fine, but then overwrote pre-existing items and there were sources in them. So I thought that's something that should not happen by default.
Were you using already something there? With quick statements?
No, with quick data integrator. Sorry, I missed that. It was just released the tool, so I used it to import that. So maybe that's a software issue, maybe that's an API issue. I don't know in detail. But what I thought after the end, and it also relates to the guy who said about staging, I had to revert all 400 politicians then by hand, and it would have been fun because my first 10 imports were tested it out. This was not really a problem. So the staging thing would be great. But what I was thinking then is like, it would be amazing to have like a web interface where you can map certain columns of a CSV file or stuff like that to certain properties or item IDs. So you can define on a web interface this, and then you can say by default overwrite or ask, or if it's newer, or if the source is added, but
you can set the rules of engagement, and it will then do it. I mean, this is a great point, and I think Glampipe is promising to do stuff like that, but it's going to be, it's like it's in development, you know. So it's not. But and I know Quick Statements 2, the new version of this, the Quick Statements 1 never did it, but the new version does actually check if it's there already. It tells you a warning, look, it's there already, and it doesn't add the statement. Or it will merge the statement. If you're adding a reference to the same statement, it'll end up as the statement with a new reference. But that's not perfect. If you try and add a globe coordinate, it will think it's not the same if there's one extra, you know, if it's precise to a millionth of a degree instead of a trillionth of a degree, like it's all ridiculous accuracy most of the time. But any slight difference in it won't detect it yet. But maybe again, that software.
So it feels like we're kind of missing a question here. And less about can we do it, but should we do it? Mm. And this staging area comes to mind and makes me think of Jurassic Park. I'm not going to do a Jeff Goldblum impression, but he's talking about scientists and they're like, they were so preoccupied whether they could, they start to think if they should.
Yes.
And we need to think more about should. And how do you know if you should? Because you need to engage with people, and maybe engaging with people on Wikidata Project for people who are completely new to it is not the easiest or most intuitive thing. And the process for deciding, you know, property proposals and things like that is something we should think about more as a real technical barrier to mass uploads or institutional cooperation. So documenting how the community works in a way that's more available or is integrated into almost the technical things. Like if you want to do this, or like we have a Wikimedia in Residence who was mentioning uploading a lot of theses the other day. And, you know, questioning the ontology and what should be prioritized and so forth. And half of it is they should be more confident to be like, well, this is how we would do it, and then we will iterate, as opposed to not doing anything because they're a little bit afraid. But they need to know they can be a bit bolder about these things, because ultimately they're major contributors to the project. So, but I think a kind of point we're missing here is giving people the confidence or a process by which they can feel confident that they're doing something constructive.
Mm. And you mean as well, like for both the external organization and in a way the internal people as well, you know, that kind of applies to both in a way, the volunteers.
I may have several proposals and solutions for many of these problems.
Good.
I've been doing. Two things I would like to say. It is high time now we have to consider, just like what is Google spreadsheet is doing, it may be important for us to think of Wikimedia spreadsheet system. Something that works similar to Google spreadsheet, but without the limitations of closed data or, you know, like this thing. So anything that will do kind of string manipulation and bulk database management system within the Wikimedia, maybe as a control system, not for everyone, but for like AWB for a club of people to begin with. And because that will actually solve the first thing to some extent. Then many of the bulk data is connected with an event. For example, the census of India.
Mm.
You know, so millions of data points are connected with every X1 year, That's a census.
Yeah.
So there's really a reason for data to change in bulk at that time.
Yeah.
But after four years, if it suddenly changes, there must be a reason.
Yeah.
So we may be able to look for the reasons why certain things has happened. For a particular property and item, if a lot of data has been changing, we must see if there's an event is connected with that.
Yeah.
Probably. So some of the data, we may have one more property called connected event. For example, population of Delhi. It may have a connected event like 2001, just like how we have, it is effective. So this way several...
So there's a way of linking it to the to the event of when this is going to need updating. Points taken. Did you have more questions?
Just one more thing I wanted to, because we can segregate about the technical skill and other things. What we do in our places, we have people to harvest the data. Then we have people to vet the data, the technical using a spreadsheet. Those people who will bring up the data into columns and other things. And then there's another set. They don't know much about technical, but they can vet the data. And then we do the next technical part of importing or taking it to Wikidata.
I think that's a process we need to certainly get. It's the technical and the non-technical working together, you know. So where are we on time? Are we into the second session now?
Yeah, we've entered the second session, and Lydia would be available to lead us in the discussion, but she communicated that she would be quite happy to let us go on with it.
Fine.
I still like your idea with the groups, because more people talking directly to each other.
That's what I think would be more constructive, because basically if we can do that, and at the end we can present back to each other, okay, like what's the summary of what we found, you know? I feel like it's the right move. So I think we can just assign people into groups. But if anyone has got a strong preference of one of these topics, can anyone put their hand up if they do have a strong preference of a topic? Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. So I guess you guys could maybe seed another one here, seed the groups really. So should we organize some areas for them, and we'll just let people move into them? Which topic were you interested in?
Oh, yeah, the first topic.
The first one. And
okay, stand up and start group.
So that begins the group with the first topic over here. Anyone else was in there as well? Great. Okay, we're in the sinking group. And the swimming group over here. Have we got, and what was your preference?
Fine.
Yes. Great. So we've got a third group forming as well. Should we? If that's the first, we probably have the second, third over here.
Yeah.
Let's begin. I think, is that all the people accounted for who had a preference? Okay.
Somebody for group number two.
So we've got a group. This is a group three here, I think. Yeah. Fantastic. Yes, that's probably quite logical.
Huh?
Yeah. So sorry. So we've got. So that's one, and that's three. Do we have a two? Because if everyone's quite interested in not all of them, it doesn't matter too much if we don't cover one as well. Should we try and make a? Let me see. We've got number one and we've got number three. I think number.
I would be personally interested in number four.
Number four is one I was gravitating towards as being the third one if we only have three. So should we just do that? Or should we do one, three, and four, basically?
Okay.
Yes.